Hi there. We have a favor to ask. If you're enjoying the DLC Live podcast and you're listening on a platform that lets you leave a rating or a review, leave us a 5-star rating. Maybe take a minute to write a quick review. It really helps and we really appreciate it. Now let's get on with the show. Welcome to DLC Live, your source for educational and inspirational interviews with mental health experts and advocates from around the world. Now, here's your host, creator of the DLC Anxiety Worldwide Mental Health Community, Dean Stott.
Hi, Adam. Are you okay?
Hey, how's it going? It's popped in here. Thanks.
Yeah, I'm very well. Thank you. Yourself?
Good, man. Yeah, just at home, hanging out.
Yeah, really good to get you on the live to share your expertise in this field. And it's definitely something that really hits home with myself even still today. So I think we're going to have a good conversation. Just for everyone who might not know about your platform and your amazing work that you're doing, if you just like to give a little introduction of how you got to where you are now, why you feel it's important to do the courses and just the success of everything behind it.
Yeah, so how I got started in all this is I actually used to have a fear of flying. And it wasn't something I always lived with. You know, I used to really like flying. I used to like look out the window the whole time, take off. Everything was no problem, absolutely no problem with the whole thing. Actually, I remember sitting next to people in planes sometimes who were having challenges, and I would talk to them. I just didn't really understand why they were afraid to fly. And then in 2012, I actually had a panic attack on a plane, and I had never had a panic attack before. So I had a panic attack on a plane. And we were about to land into Denver, Colorado, coming from Portland, Oregon. I was about to do, you know, a continental flight. I was going from West Coast to East Coast. Had a panic attack. So a panic attack on a plane is pretty scary. And then from that point on, I was like, I don't want to do this. I don't like how this made me feel. I don't know. I didn't even know what was even happening, what was going on. I just kind of just dealt with it and struggled through the experience. And to cut to the point, once you overcome something like that, you see how much it affects your life when you do struggle with the fear of flying. It's like, I just felt like I have to share this stuff with people, because when I went on Instagram, I didn't really find much information about this stuff. There's a few accounts that kind of say they help people with fear of flying, but they weren't really sharing any tips or advice. And so I thought like, well, I'm just going to go on there and start sharing stuff that I'm learning. And then once I actually really overcame my fear, I learned some extra things I knew I had to share that was going to make the difference between people getting on a plane, seeing their families, going on trips and holidays, going to weddings and stuff. Like, if it's going to make that big of a difference in their lives, I need to share this with people. So that's kind of how it started. I just want to help put good into the world, you know, because I've learned so much, and so much has happened with me in my life that I feel like I can share and help people's lives change by sharing it. So it's like, it's kind of my obligation, I feel, in this life to do this.
No, definitely. And I can definitely agree with you, especially on the psychoeducation part of why you say panic attacks and how they can really affect you on doing something like you say used to be natural to you. So getting on a plane was natural. You then had a panic attack and things changed and your behavior started to avoid that certain situation. If you can just talk me through that panic attack you had, like what sort of symptoms and everything were you getting, and like, what did you do in the moment? Do you remember back then?
It's pretty vivid because it's such a strong emotional experience. A lot of times you tend to remember those things, even if they're from years ago. Yeah, I was on the plane. And so at the time, it was with my girlfriend at the time, who's now my wife. I was with her entire family. We're going back to the East Coast. So there's a little bit of like extra pressure and stress, you know, when you're doing this big trip with the family, meeting some other family members for the first times. I really wasn't aware of maybe how that was affecting me. At that time in my life, I really wasn't aware of how much anxiety was really affecting my life. So I wasn't really good at paying attention to signs and signals of things of like, oh, maybe I should take care of myself in the moment. Maybe there's something I can do to respond to this to make myself feel more comfortable. So when it hit me, I had no tools. It just hit me. And I was just like, what do I do? I feel like I'm about to fall from the sky. I feel like this is just too much. Am I sick? Am I dying? Am I having a medical condition? Like, is this what happens before, you know, something serious happens in your body or before you like go crazy or something? And I just basically remember crossing my arms like this and just like stared straight ahead for like 2 hours because I was like, I couldn't look down. I couldn't look to the side or up. it was just too, it was almost like I had vertigo or something. I couldn't really deal with anything other than looking straight ahead. I couldn't stand up. I couldn't go to the bathroom or anything. So it was really uncomfortable. I just struggled through it completely. I didn't even know about breathing or anything. So it just was really difficult.
Was there any specific thing that triggered it, or did the panic attack feel like it came from nowhere?
I think it had to do with, this is just me guessing, but at the time we were flying over some like clouds, because when you go into Denver, there's some weather systems, you know, as you go over the Rocky Mountains, and we're flying up and around them. So it kind of felt, I guess, kind of weird to all of a sudden go up higher than we were and kind of go around the clouds. And I'm just kind of motion sensitive. So I think maybe that just triggered some feeling of like, well, this kind of feels weird. Is this okay? And it's so subconscious that you don't even really have to have that many thoughts about it for it to happen. It can just be this thing of like, oh, this is just too much. We're overloaded and we want to fight or flight or flee right now. And you're on a plane. What are you going to do?
Yeah, no, exactly. And I think that's why it's such an interesting conversation to have, where you say having anxiety and a panic attack on a plane, especially when you can't really move for an hour, 2 hours, sometimes if you do a continental flight, 8 hours. So having these skills is really useful, because not getting on a plane nowadays can really, really has a big effect on people's lives. So I think you're doing is amazing. I think, what sort of feedback have you had from the course so far, and how long have you had the course running?
Well, just to be clear, right now I don't actually have a course. I do coaching. I was going to create a course, but I kind of shifted back into the coaching because I find that helps people more to get that one-on-one focused attention.
Brilliant.
Because people's fears and anxiety are so specific to their situation that they had a personal experience, you know, that created the fear, that I like to work with people in that one-to-one setting, because it's just more transformative, it's more productive, and then I can see where they are. So I would like to create a course sometime in the future, supplement coaching, but right now it's just the coaching. But the feedback I'm getting is really positive, because I have people that haven't seen their parents for years, haven't seen their grandparents for years, avoided job opportunities, you know, haven't seen their friends, and then all of a sudden they can get on a plane. And at first, you know, it's not easy. It's not something that just gets erased from your memory forever. But like, they actually feel like they can do it, that it's going to get better. And that's so, I love that when people are like, you know what, I did it. You know, especially they do it by themselves when they don't have anybody there, you know, to create that reassurance for them. They just do it. It's so amazing, because I remember how that feels when you can finally do it. You think like, oh, now the world opens up to me. And that's how these people are feeling. That's what they're telling me. And so, like, that really motivates me just to keep doing this and to connect with these people and, you know, show up on Instagram as much as I can, show up on Facebook, and that way people can find me and I can help them.
No, that's wonderful. And regarding when you had the panic attack, how long did you avoid getting on a plane for after that?
It was at least a couple of years. I remember I missed several vacations and trips because of it. I just didn't go to things, you know, unfortunately. And at the time, I was really struggling with daily anxiety and daily panic. So it was really overwhelming to think that, like, okay, I'm going to get on a plane. I haven't even figured this out in my daily life yet. It's just my daily life is too much for me. So it was a couple of years before I actually realized, like, I need to do this because it's going to affect me too much down the road if I don't. And the more I learned how anxiety and panic worked, I realized that you have to face it. You have to go through the feelings if you want to heal. You got to feel it to heal it, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And when you first went back onto the plane, do you remember how you reacted? And was your anxiety level high that first time getting back on?
Oh, absolutely. It wasn't the easiest thing. There was a lot of willpower involved, because I didn't quite have all the tools that I have today to do it. I just had some things I was trying out. A lot of this was just me experimenting. I was like a guinea pig. I was like, oh, I learned this muscle relaxation technique. I learned this thing. Now I'm going to go try this out. It was hard. The takeoff especially was always really difficult. Just that sudden acceleration, the liftoff. There's a lot of sensations. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really even quite understand completely how flying worked still at that point. So it was... I didn't have a lot of trust that I needed, because you need to trust the industry and you trust yourself if you really want to overcome this. So it was difficult, but I did it because I knew I had to do it. Because at that point, I had felt pretty good about dealing with panic attacks on the ground. So I thought, like, well, maybe I can do this up in the air if it happens again. You know what? I have to try.
No, that's wonderful. And I think that's a really good insight into knowing, like you said, when you delve back into something that causes you anxiety and causes you panic, it's not going to be easy the first time. And I think it's really important to put that message out there that to overcome the fear, you really have to face it. But one thing I would say is that when you do face it, it isn't as fearful as what you build it up to be in your mind. So we often build it up to be this thing that we can't overcome. But when we start to go toe to toe with fear, it's almost like we see the cracks in it, and we start to think, oh well, we can actually do this. We can get over this. And then, like the exposure and continuing to do that, what happens is the anxiety over time will start to reduce. So I do have some questions from the platform. They do have some questions about flying. So if I can get into them, Adam, is that all right?
Yeah, I'd love to answer some questions, especially if people are listening and maybe they have the same question, you know, it could help them.
Yeah, definitely. I'll look at the questions that are coming through as well if people want to put the questions on the comments. So the first question is, do you ever get nervous during turbulence, and is it a natural thing to be scared of?
I don't get scared of turbulence anymore.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you though that I am motion sensitive. I'm just one of those people that like could get, you know, car sick or something still at my age. So I accepted the fact that was part of me. I guess getting better at flying was understanding that, like, hey, I'm just kind of motion sensitive. I might feel some sensations, some forces that are going to make me feel a little bit off. It doesn't mean I need to interpret them as something is wrong. And
No.
so currently, I think about it with a different mindset, I think. So when I do feel a little bit off, like a little swirly or dizzy, I know what it's from. I know it's not because of turbulence is dangerous. So I guess because I understand turbulence and what it is and how it affects the plane and the passengers, I'm just not really scared of it anymore.
No,
And
that's
is it
good.
natural? It is totally natural. It's just like waves in the ocean, or, you know, any movement in the ocean or river or a lake that you might feel like in a boat. It's just that because air is invisible, we don't really see it as this like physical medium that we're going through, but it has, you know, its own properties. It's just clear. We can't really see it. So any waves or energy moving through is totally normal and safe. And actually, the airline industry does a really fantastic job making sure all the planes are spaced appropriately, so those waves aren't intercepting each other too much from other plane movements.
I think that because I personally, like I say, still get anxious when on a plane, but for me, it doesn't stop me from going to the other side of the world on a plane, but it's just not comfortable sat there. But yeah, I think that's really informative knowing that, like you said, even though you can't see air, it is made up of properties like water, for example. So even if like a plane's engine's cut off, the plane isn't going to drop out of the sky because it's physically important. Aerodynamics wouldn't let that happen.
Yeah, so going back to the properties of air, think of it as gelatin. Like, just think about you're just like stuck in jello, which is kind of a funny image anyways, and kind of makes you kind of like laugh about it. You're like, oh, I'm just like in this little plane, we're stuck in jello, we're not going anywhere, because at those speeds and velocities, and because of physics and how physics works, and the plane's interaction with the environment, you're not going to go anywhere. And actually, the higher you go up, the more stuck you are in the air. So the higher you are, you have more space to glide to safety. And so, and you actually have a thinner air, and that makes the engines run more efficiently, and you have better fuel efficiency. So it's actually better to be up high than down low.
Well, that's really interesting. That's something I didn't know as well. No, I
It's
appreciate
kind of
that.
good to flip, sorry, it's kind of good to flip those scripts in your brain and think like, oh, it's actually good to be up high.
Yeah.
Kind of counterintuitive and kind of tricks your brain into believing it for a second, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Just with myself, just from a personal point of view, it's just so unnatural to be 60,000 feet up in the sky in this metal canister that's going 600 mile an hour. Yeah, the irrational thoughts really do play havoc with myself. And it's almost, I just literally end up sitting through it. So I'll look around, I'll see other passengers, they're watching movies or they're eating, and I'm sat there watching the flight path, making sure the plane is doing what it should be.
Right. It's like, oh, I need to pay attention. If I don't pay attention, something's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's to your point about thinking about, you know, this isn't natural or this shouldn't be happening. I think in those moments, it's good to realize that that's a sign that anxiety is kind of taking over your thinking. It starts to make you kind of overanalyze what's going on. It's like, why am I in this plane? This is so weird. Why is this happening? This isn't natural. They're almost like existential, I don't know, like deep questions about what's going on. But like, all we're doing is adhering to the natural laws, you know, and using physics to our advantage. That's what humans have been doing. It's almost like what humans are good at. We discover laws about nature and discover things about science, and we apply them so we can have more experiences and like survive better on this planet, I would say. So if anything, we're doing something completely natural. It's just not as common in our history to be doing this, but it's totally natural. Otherwise, birds couldn't fly.
No, that's a really, really good point. Really, really effective. So, the next question is, no matter how many breathing techniques I get told to do, how many books about overcoming the fear of flying that I read? So it's a very similar one. They were actually saying that being so high up there, so you did touch on this, just doesn't feel natural to me. And I guess that if I'm 60,000 feet up in the sky and something goes wrong with both the engines, I'm going to be doomed over the ocean, it says.
Yeah, so I could address the breathing techniques thing first if you want to, or yeah. I could go through the whole thing. Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna get down to the core point of that, which is, yeah, it doesn't matter what you do if you are struggling, if you're not accepting what's happening and how you're feeling, mm-hmm. nothing's going to work because there's no like magic pill in this. There's just techniques to help you regulate a dysregulated system. And there's techniques that can help you stay more aware and present in the moment. So you can kind of just see like what is actually happening right now. Right now, the plane's just flying. Right now, nothing else is happening other than we are flying. Anything else I bring to it, any imaginations and fears, that's all up here. So the more relaxed you can get and calm you can get through some techniques, it's going to help you kind of be more regulated in your nervous system and kind of like realize, oh, this is just what I'm doing right now. There's nothing wrong with this. And if you can combine that with some safety information, you can just kind of see how rational and okay it actually is to be up there and how completely safe it is. I mean, like right now over our heads, there's thousands of planes, mm-hmm. you know, like, nothing's happening to those planes. Why would anything happen to your plane? You know, the statistics just aren't there to show that you need to pay any attention or put any mental energy into this.
And then you are right about the statistics as well. Like you said, that, like, I remember looking at, you know, one of the flight radars where you see how many planes are in the sky at once. And it's crazy the amount of planes. Gosh.
So many planes. Even right now with COVID, like, if you go on Flight Radar 24, it's a really good app. You can track your flights basically before you go on them. You can just see like there are so many planes right now and they're being perfectly orchestrated to go on their little highways and their roads in the sky and go right where they need to go. And it's going on right now. You could be one of those same planes where just nothing happens. You go up, you go down, you're totally fine. And if both engines did cut out, it's so unlikely, but the pilots have gone through this type of training so many times. They know this stuff, like they just know it immediately what to do. So they have a response. There's a plan for every single thing you can think of. There's backup systems for every single thing on the plane. There's like backup systems for backup systems. It's like so over-designed. It's unlike anything else, you know, that humans kind of do. No, so if engines did go out, you would glide to safety. You'd be totally fine.
Yeah, and what you say, I think it's really important to know that when people say that about engines and management systems, there isn't just one computer that's backing up the system. There's also, like you said, there's a backup computer that's backing up the backup computer, and it's one of the most regulated industries ever in the world.
Just to become a pilot, it is incredible. You have to be so dedicated and motivated just to become a pilot. The amount of money that goes into training, the amount of time and resources that goes into training a pilot to fly a commercial aircraft, it is incredible. It's, I would say it's the closest thing is like maybe like a doctor. If you want to become a doctor, the amount of dedication, financial investment and time it takes and training and continued training it takes to like to do that job, they're about the same. So they're kind of like doctors in the sky. If you think about it. They're not just like some person who decided to get a job off of Craigslist or something like a bus driver. No. It's like they have committed their life. Cause if you on Instagram, I follow a lot of pilots and it'll show like their first photos when they first flew. There's usually about a 10-year gap between when they first got their like first single wing like certification and actually the commercial airline job they got. It's usually like several years. So this is a real passion for them to do this. So you can put your trust completely into these people.
No, that's really, really informative as well. The next question, Adam, is I had a bad experience on a flight. We had to make an emergency landing. I was so scared. And ever since I haven't traveled, how would you advise me to like make the next steps of getting back on a plane after having such a bad experience?
That's a great question because that I understand that is a challenging experience to go through. That would be really scary. I mean, it's good to recognize all the feelings that went into that experience, that they're valid. Yeah, you got scared. There's good reason to be scared. You know, like we don't want to die. We want to live. So if you thought your life was in danger, it's normal to have a really strong reaction. Yeah. But then it's good to think about what did actually happen. You know, the facts, like everything actually had a plan behind it and you're safe. And that's just how the industry works. From there, I would think about, you know, what was the situation that you were in and maybe learn more about it, like maybe learn about the systems that were involved, that we get some kind of confidence behind the decisions that were being made. And if you're ready to fly and take the next steps, like start to expose yourself in small increments to like sounds and sights and feelings, you know, involving flying and just see how you feel. So don't rush into it because you don't want to make the fear worse. You don't want to reinforce anything. So there is a process you kind of step through. That's kind of where coaching comes in. I kind of help people like decide like, you know, what's your plan going to be? So you do feel ready to take the next step. So you're not just like forcing yourself to do something you're not ready to do.
I think it'd be really interesting and good if someone could have a coach while they were actually on the plane as well.
You know what? I've actually messaged with people on the plane through Facebook. Yeah, because a lot of planes, for some reason, at least in the United States, you can use Facebook Messenger for free without any Wi-Fi.
Oh, right.
And if someone does have Wi-Fi, I can text them. So I've actually messaged people while they were flying if it worked out, you know, with their schedules. And so that's been really helpful. Just the fact that I was there, like they knew like, oh, he's paying attention to me. He's right there. And usually at that point, once they've gotten up to cruising altitude, they're usually okay. Because like you said, a lot of times you build this stuff up in your mind. Mm-hmm. You actually kind of face it. That anticipation can kind of like melt away and you realize like, you know what, this isn't as bad as I thought. This is okay. I can do this.
Yeah. I'm not sure if that's the same with the planes over here, like in the UK. I'm not sure if you can use Facebook Messenger because if you could, Adam, I would be taking your number down and I would be, yeah. I would be messaging you and there'd be no, because I can see how that could be just really reassuring for someone to have someone who can just say no to the irrational thoughts that they're thinking in that moment. Because a lot of people, like you said, they're either taking the flight on their own or they're with the partner or a friend or someone who they might not want to share what's going on in their mind.
Yeah.
I think like having you there at the other end of the screen, I can imagine how beneficial that could be.
It's a nice form of distraction too, right? I mean, because this is a process, so it's not good to always reassurance seek, you know, or like think you need somebody there with you. But, you know, you got to take those incremental steps. So at first, you know, it's have that person with you that maybe makes you feel safe because you are exposing yourself still at the same time. So it's okay. And, you know, distract yourself. Like if you can message with somebody, message with them. Just that way you can bring yourself in the present moment and you kind of learn how to like focus on things in the present moment. So that's why I'm so happy when it works out. I can actually message some people and just kind of remind them of the things they already kind of know what to do that we work through and just be there for them. Just even if it's a couple of times during the flight, it makes them feel so much better. And then maybe that next flight, they don't need me and they just do it on their own.
That must be a great feeling for yourself when you see people improving on them steps.
Oh, totally. It's like, especially when someone goes from like taking medication to not taking any medication on a flight, they're like, oh, I didn't take any Ativan or Xanax. And it's like, wow, that's amazing, because now you're going to make significant improvements, because once you can eliminate medication, you're going to create better subconscious memories and responses. So yeah, I love it because it's such a personal experience for me, and I know how big of an impact it has on people's lives.
That's wonderful. The next question, Adam, is it safe to stay on a plane that's recently had a mechanical problem that's just been fixed?
Yeah, if for some reason the plane, there was a delay, they needed to fix something, and you were on it, I mean, yeah, it's totally safe because planes are constantly being maintained. They're being swapped out for other planes. And actually, the amount of maintenance that goes into a plane is so significant. It's incredible the amount of hours that's spent, you know, maintaining, investigating, looking at planes and monitoring them on the ground for every hour that they're up in the sky. I think it's like for every hour a plane flies, it's like 11 hours of maintenance and inspection is being done. So imagine if your car was, you know, monitored and maintained and inspected like 11 hours for every hour you drove it. Yeah. You feel pretty good about it. So it just shows the level of seriousness and safety that goes into maintaining these things, and that's how the whole industry looks at flying in general. So it's completely safe.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point you make as well, Adam, that the amount of risk that we all take getting in a car that isn't maintained, like you said. Yeah. So the maintenance for a car is nowhere near like in the same category as something like a plane, but we all are happy to get in a car, no problems.
Oh, and think about going in an Uber, like some person you've never met, you just jump in the car and you're like, you know, like, what's your credentials? How much training have you had? Have you trained for all these different safety scenarios? You know, how long did you go to school to learn how to drive your car? It's like, we don't have any of that. We just jump in the vehicles, you know, without even thinking about it. We kind of just block it out. Maybe don't think about it, but it's a risk that we do take.
It's just a personal question. What do you think the reason is that even though, like you say, you look at the statistics, we know that driving is incredibly a lot more riskier than getting on a plane. What do you think? Why do you think we have this conception of the fear of getting on a plane and so much fear compared to driving? Do you think it is just because of people put it in their minds that it is unnatural to be up high in the sky?
Yeah, that could be part of it. I think, yeah, if you develop the fear of flying suddenly, or you just never liked flying, there's that lack of control. Like, you're not the one making the choices
right in
the situation. You can't like pull the car over, or you can't pull the plane over. You can't stop it. Someone else is doing everything. There's just a lot of factors out of your control. Mm-hmm. You're by a lot of people. You don't have a lot of personal space. I mean, it's just such a different experience than driving. And driving is just something we accept because we just do it so often. It's like, well, I have to drive. I have to go to work. I have to live my life. I got to drop the kids off at school. So we just kind of accept these risks in life. And that's the thing. It's like, we already are accepting risks to improve our lives. And flying is one of the best risks you can take and improve your life dramatically if you can do it. It's just when you do have that experience that creates the fear, it's such an irrational fear-based response that creates a really strong association in your subconscious mind. And there's really no talking logically about it. You have to, you know, retrain yourself emotionally to be okay with the whole experience. And that's kind of why it's so hard, because your amygdala loves false like alarms. Even if it's an incorrect like alarm, if it's just you're completely safe but it feels like you might be in danger, it still treats it like a fear and a danger. So that's why it's so hard. It's just an irrational subconscious process.
No, that's a really good point. The next question is, bird strikes are a real threat. What happens if bird strikes take out both the engines? So again, you did touch on this, and I guess it comes to the fact that they have procedures in place to make sure that the plane gets back on the ground, yeah?
Yeah, so in the very unlikely situation that birds would take out both engines, they would have to do an emergency landing. That's just a fact. And it has happened. I mean, there's that really famous story about the Hudson landing in the United States where like the guy had to land the plane in the river, I believe, the Hudson River. They made a movie about it with Tom Hanks. So they had to do an emergency landing, and they do take that really seriously, like having birds enter the engine. So there's a lot of measures taken in place so they don't have so many birds at the airport, because unfortunately birds are kind of drawn to airports.
Yeah.
So they have a lot of people that actually behind the scenes are working to make sure birds are not at the airport. It's unlikely they would hit both engines, but they did, and you'd just taken off, you'd have to do an emergency landing. And as far as I know, nothing has really happened. Nothing bad's really ever happened in those cases.
And like you say, for them to incredibly get the plane onto the Hudson, I don't think nobody died in that situation, did they?
No, and that's what's so incredible about the whole thing. I think there was even one, like, was it in Russia, I believe, like last year or something, happened, and they probably had a land like in a cornfield.
Yeah.
Like over 200 people are on the plane with a full, like, fully fueled plane, and nothing happened. They all got off the plane and they were all safe.
That's fantastic to hear. And just going back to the monitoring, Adam, when I said that, obviously, when I'm on a plane, for example, all I find myself doing is looking at the flight monitor. I guess that will be part of control, wouldn't it? Trying to have some sort of aspect of control with the flight, even though obviously there is no control.
Right. It's that whole response that we have, like there's a threat, and then so we have a response to the threat. It makes us feel like we have some type of power, and so we kind of do. We get that reward of like, oh, when I do this, I feel like I have some type of control, so I'll continue to do it. Even though it's not really providing the safety that I'm looking for, it just feels like I have some type of control. So those are reassurance-seeking behaviors that, like, if you can cut them out, the better off you are, because you're going to retrain your subconscious mind not to seek them out.
No, that's wonderful. And that does result in all the questions from the followers. If people want to see more of your platform, Adam, they want to contact you regarding coaching, because obviously as society starts to open up, we're going to be going on planes more, and people are going to be feeling more anxious anyway going back, because we've been all obviously cooped up for so long. Where can they message you? Where can they come and approach you for the services that you offer?
Yeah, so I'm on Instagram. I think that's the place I'm at the most. Okay. So people find me on there. So Life Takes Flight. That's just how you'll find me. You'll see my face, my profile. You can go to my website, lifetakesflight.com. And I also have some free training. I actually just uploaded a free, like, 10-lesson training. It's, like, my top 10 lessons I learned overcoming the fear of flying. That's actually helped a lot of people. They've watched it before their flights, and it's stuff they didn't really think about. And it kind of helped them think about situations differently. So if you go to lifetakesflight.com/10-lessons, you're going to find that free training. So, and on that page, there's a way to contact me as well. So message me on Instagram, go to my website, and it should be pretty easy to find out how to message.
To find you on Instagram, you just type in Life Takes Flight, yeah?
Yep. Or fear of flying, flight anxiety. I think I'm probably the first person that will show up, and you'll see my face in the profile picture.
Yeah, to the followers, I will do like a swipe up in the stories. Okay. So they can go over maybe a swipe up to, like you say, the free the free questions and that you have. That just leads me to say thank you, Adam, for the time you've taken out today, for coming on the platform, for answering the questions of the followers, and just thank you for everything that you do with the fear of flying, because I know that it does affect a lot of people.
You're so welcoming. It's great to be here. I hope I was able to help you feel a little bit better. If you ever have any questions yourself, just reach out. I'm glad to help. So, because a lot of people, just from going to my Instagram page, have read posts, and it gave them that extra boost of confidence they needed to get on their flight. And so just on my Instagram page alone, there's enough information that can really help you feel better. There's a lot of good free stuff right there. So I'm here to help. Thanks so much for having me today. It's great to be here. I love what you're doing. You've been such an advocate, a diehard advocate for mental health for so long. You're tireless, you're relentless, and it's great to be here today.
No, I appreciate that, Adam. And like I said, on a personal front, it's just really nice to connect with someone in the industry who's doing such good things. And just continue what you're doing. And like you said, I will be hopping on your page and seeing what you are, what you're posting next.
Yeah. Thanks so much. Thanks for the support.
No problem. Thanks, Adam. And have a what time is it there?
It's maybe like 12:30 p.m.
Right. Enjoy the rest of your day. And
Thanks for everybody that showed up today, too. I hope everybody that showed up got something out of this.
Wonderful. Thank you very much, Adam. Yeah, take care.
You've been listening to DLC Live. Be sure to follow Dean on Instagram at DLC Anxiety. Check our website at dlcanxiety.com. And grab yourself a copy of our latest book, Untangle Your Anxiety, on Amazon today. See you next time.